This is KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. The military situation in Phnom Penh, Cambodia has worsened and is now reported very critical. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. We have a late situation report from Mike Snitowski.
The situation around Phnom Penh is described in radio reports to the Cambodian embassy here as extremely critical. According to the report, monitored directly from Army High Command headquarters in Phnom Penh, most government defenses have now crumbled and insurgent forces are moving steadily forward toward the populated sections of the city. There are still government troops holding out in isolated pockets all around the capital, but insurgent infiltrators have broken through in large numbers and are no longer possible to contain. The chance of a major bloodbath, according to the reports, now looks increasingly real as government soldiers and the Khmer Rouge reportedly are firing at each other in close quarter combat within the capital's northwest section, where some 50 foreigners are said to be holding out inside the French embassy. Many of them reportedly are armed. Mike Snitowski for CBS News, Bangkok.
The airport at Phnom Penh is reported still in the hands of government soldiers, but since rebels are at the edge of it, no planes are flying out. The military situation in South Vietnam does not appear much better. Communist insurgents have attacked the port city of Phan Rang, and military sources say that government soldiers there have fled. In another push toward Saigon, rebels have launched a massive artillery barrage on a major air base. Peter Collins has that story.
Preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hello out there. I'm Mike Roy with compatriot Denny Brackett.
And we have the definitive word on the Mike Roy Cook thing tomorrow here on the CBS Radio Network. What is that definitive thing on your sleeve there?
Muscle Man's vegetable spinach.
Oh, what is so special about that?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, it's been around from the early Chinese dynasties. Well, until Popeye discovered it.
Oh, what?
Japan, they used it to create electric power.
Huh?
And it's no joke, it's got nutritional value.
Well, the word is spinach on Mike Roy's Cook thing over the CBS Radio Network tomorrow.
President Ford told the annual Republican fundraising dinner in Washington Tuesday night that with work, the GOP can rebuild itself and win in next year's elections. Mr. Ford called on Republicans to lead the way in responsible economic policy.
For too many years, the country has been headed in the wrong direction. Constantly increasing deficits and unchecked spending have been milestones on the road to economic disaster. As I see it, despite our present traumatic experiences, both at home and abroad, we must move in a new direction, a Republican direction, toward budgetary discipline and fiscal restraints.
Mr. Ford repeated his intention to run for president next year. The House voted Tuesday to add $5 billion to state and federal unemployment trust funds that have been depleted by the high jobless rate. Already, seven states and Puerto Rico have had to borrow nearly $500 million from the federal government to meet their commitments for unemployment insurance this year. Now this message.
Hey, Jimmy. Wake up. It's Dad.
What is it, Dad?
Marilyn?
Marilyn, come on, get up. That means you.
My family all thought I was crazy.
That's it.
Getting them up and outside that early in the morning.
Saturday morning.
What is this, the fire drill?
Finally, someone noticed why.
Wow, look at that sunrise.
Isn't that beautiful?
I wanted to share that with all of you.
Wow, that's neat.
Afterwards, we had a backyard breakfast.
Quite a cook.
You like my pancakes, huh?
Yeah, they sure are good.
Hey, don't forget me.
Bacon's all gone. Sorry about that. What do you have, sweetheart?
Lumpy, help me out.
It was kind of crazy getting him up just for that sunrise.
Jimmy, getting full?
But the children remembered that morning more than anything else we did that summer.
Thanks, Dad.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Lebanon's premier is expected to meet on Wednesday with Palestinian guerrillas and members of the right-wing Falangist Party to try to arrange a ceasefire. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A delegation of Clatsop County officials met with Governor Bob Straub in an unsuccessful effort to have him withhold his support for construction of the Alumax plant in Umatilla County. Attorneys for the group said legal action would soon be filed to prevent Alumax and Bonneville Power Administration from signing a new contract for electrical power at the plant site near Hermiston. The company had originally planned to build the plant at Warrenton in Clatsop County, but difficulties in meeting proposed environmental standards forced the firm to look elsewhere for a plant site. The Clatsop delegation says the various local government agencies had spent $1.3 million in preparing for the Alumax plant, but that would be lost if the plant is not built at Warrenton. The Oregon Joint Ways and Means Committee has voted to prohibit state agencies from refusing to hire homosexuals. The proposed discrimination ban came in the form of amendments to a bill dealing with personal matters within the State Highway Division. The amendments were offered by State Representative Vera Katz, who has introduced other legislation to prevent discrimination in private employment and housing based on a person's sexual orientation. The bill is bogged down in a House committee and appears to have little chance of success. The Oregon House has approved legislation designed to write into law procedures for development of geothermal resources. Supporters of the legislation say it would create a clear and concise permit system for development of the vast geothermal resources in Oregon and at the same time encourage rapid development of geothermal energy. Opponents of the measure argue that it amounts to a possible giveaway of the resource, which should be held in public trust. The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area: mostly cloudy with a chance of showers tonight and tomorrow. Partial clearing tomorrow night, becoming partly sunny Thursday. Lows near 40 degrees, highs 55 to 60 both days. Variable winds of 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rainfall, 20% tonight and tomorrow, 10% tomorrow night. Right now in downtown Portland, the temperature stands at 45 degrees. That's KOIN News at 11:08. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. We have another story designed to hit you right between the ears. Murder, of course, is a common, everyday subject of the mystery story. But we promise you that this one murder has an entirely new kind of definition. You've heard the expression, being of two minds. Well, Joe Vincent, our hero, or should I say our victim, is very definitely a man who could be described that way. The only trouble is, one of those minds seems to be bent on homicide.
Pete, is he still alive?
I can't tell you, Doc.
Mr. Vincent, can you hear me?
Doc, do you see what's written on that mirror in soap?
No, it's kind of blurred, Pete. It's just one word. It says death.
Our mystery drama, My Own Murderer, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated,
Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say bud, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say bud, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. When you say bud, you've said the world that means you like to do it all. To only walk the king of beers. There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser, you've said it.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You meet the nicest people when you lunch or dine at the Captain's Corner. The Captain's Corner in the Century Tower building is where people count on a quality menu and friendly service. Individual attention to patrons is one reason the Captain's Corner is a favorite all over Portland, and that goes for the lounge. For excellent lunching or dining, stop at Downtown Zone Captain's Corner, inside the Century Tower building on Southwest 12th between Jefferson and Main, with free parking.
Oh, great spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made.
In some Americans today, the spirit of that Indian prayer is reborn. But now everyone must get involved in the struggle against pollution and litter. Write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
What is the past? What is the present? Sometimes our minds can no longer tell the difference. Sometimes the strains and stresses of our lives stop us from sorting out the differences between then and now. You're about to meet a man who has this problem, and others. But in order to meet him, we have to take you away from what we hope are your comfortable surroundings and bring you to the mean streets of Skid Row, to the shabbiest part of a large metropolitan city, because that's where you'll find Mr. Joseph Vincent.
I woke up. There was nothing unusual about waking up. I've been doing it all my life. But lately, waking up has been the beginning of a nightmare, not the end. The moment I opened my eyes, I knew this morning was going to be one of those days when I'd have to face that terrible emptiness again, that frightening jump between the real and the unreal. Because when the cold light of morning oozed through the dirty panes of the window in front of me, when I finally made sense out of the strange angles and unfamiliar shapes that formed my surroundings, I realized that I was in a room I'd never seen before. It was a hotel room, probably. There were always hotel rooms, foul-smelling boxes. But I was Joseph Vincent, and I didn't belong in a flea-bag flophouse of a hotel. I didn't belong in this cell of misery. I was Joseph Vincent, and I was rich. Hello?
You check out. Time is 12 o'clock.
What was that?
This is a hotel, buddy, not a furnished room. You got 20 minutes to get out of there, or I'll have to charge you another $9.
$9? Is that the rate?
That's right. I told you that when you checked in.
When? When was that? What time last night?
I don't remember.
Was I drunk?
Look, mister.
All right. Just tell me one more thing. What's the name of this hotel?
It's the Hotel McGauley's.
All right, thanks. And don't worry, I'm leaving. I managed to get myself out of the bed. I was still dressed. My pants and shirt were eroded by wrinkles, but my jacket was lying untouched across a moldy armchair.
I reached for the wallet and checked my money. It was all there. Then I saw something else. It was a water glass and a small bottle. I picked it up and looked at the label. There was a skull and crossbones on it. My flesh turned cold. And the small label blurred in front of my eyes. It was poison, no doubt of it. I put the bottle down with disgust. I struggled into my jacket. Went to the mirror to check out the condition of my face. And there it was once more, the same familiar sight. The letters written in soap across the face of the mirror. And the message was signed as it always was, but this time the words read, "Next time you die."
Come in, Mr. Vincent.
Thank you, Doctor.
Please sit down.
Thank you.
Why don't we begin with the obvious? Tell me how you got my name.
Well, you may not be flattered, Doctor, but I found it in a directory, a medical directory in the library.
Well, at least you know something about my credentials. So, why not tell me about yourself?
Well, you know my name, Joseph Vincent. I'm in Wall Street. Or I was. I've been sort of retired for a while.
Mm-hmm. How old are you, Mr. Vincent?
56.
Young for retirement. Was it voluntary? Reasons of health?
Yes, it was voluntary. I made quite a bit of money in the market. I didn't see any real reason to keep to a 9-to-5 schedule, especially after my wife died.
When was that?
It was about a year ago. It was an automobile accident. I was in the same crash, but I came out with just a concussion. Eleanor was killed outright.
Was she driving?
No, I was. Anyway, that was when I decided to quit. The work didn't seem so interesting to me anymore, and then there was this other thing.
What other thing?
This thing that started to happen to me.
What was that exactly?
Dr. Abrams, someone is trying to kill me.
Are you really certain of that, Mr. Vincent?
Yes. There have been 3 attempts. The last one took place 2 days ago. That's when I decided it was time for me to see somebody.
A psychiatrist and not the police?
Yes.
May I ask why?
Well, the person who is trying to kill me is myself.
Mr. Vincent, are you telling me that you have suicidal impulses?
No. No, Doctor, I don't have anything of the kind. Not me. Look, I get these spells, Doctor. They started right after the accident. I keep waking up in filthy hotel rooms.
Is that what happens during these spells?
Yes. I suppose maybe you could call it amnesia, blackouts. I've had 6 since the accident, each one a little longer than the one before. They come on suddenly without any warning. And then I just find myself in one of these cheap rooms downtown around 10th Avenue or something. Or sometimes I wake up at home in my own bed.
Do you live alone?
No, I have a housekeeper, Mrs. McLeavy. She's been with me, for more than 20 years. She's been worried sick about these disappearances of mine.
Tell me about the last time.
Well, I woke up in a place called the Hotel Margolis. I must have been drinking. I had a hangover. I could still taste the wine I'd drunk, a cheap Muscatel. There wasn't any wine bottle in the room, but there was something else. A bottle of poison.
Poison?
Yes. And there was one more thing.
What was that?
A note. Written on the mirror in soap.
What did it say?
It said, "Next time you die." And it was signed Joe Vincelli.
Joe Vincelli? Who's that?
It wasn't the first time Vincelli had threatened me. Twice before he left notes for me on the mirror. This time he tried to poison me. Next time,
next time is it.
Mr. Vincent, who is Joe Vincelli?
I told you. It's me.
Yes.
Look, I know my name is Joseph Vincent, but it wasn't always. I came to America 34 years ago, and my name was Giuseppe Verdi Vincelli. My father was a great opera lover. Everybody called me Joe when I arrived, and I had a lot of different jobs. I was a construction worker, I was a barber, a salesman for an ice cream company. Then a friend of mine got me interested in the stock market. I went to school at night for about 4 years, and then I got a job down on the street. I don't know, maybe I was smart, or maybe I was lucky, but...
And why do you think Joe Vincelli is after you?
I don't know, Doctor. That's why I'm here. So you can explain it to me. Why this other man that's in me, in my own body, wants me dead.
Dr. Abrams?
Yes, Penny?
I just wanted to remind you that Mr. Vincent will be here at 4 o'clock.
Oh, yes, I remember all too well.
You don't sound very happy about it.
I'm not sure that this case belongs to my office.
You've dealt with suicidal types before.
Yes, I've dealt with them, and it's not difficult to find a suicide motive in Vincent's case. Guilt over the death of his wife.
Because of the auto accident?
An auto that Vincent was driving. Subconsciously, he blames himself for her death and is seeking punishment. The only punishment that fits the crime. So he's resurrected the cruder, more violent personality of Joe Vincelli to do the job for him. And I'm afraid he might succeed.
How awful.
This other personality knows that Vincent is trying to defend himself, so he's all the more cunning, all the more difficult to reach.
Maybe you need an exorcist, Doctor.
Maybe I need a detective.
What?
It may take months to get the answers out of Vincent's unconscious, and by that time...
But what could a detective do?
He could follow the man, find out where he goes during these blackouts, what he does.
Do you think that would help?
If I knew the answers to those questions, I might be able to save his life.
Dr. Abrams, don't you remember what my husband Pete does for a living?
Your husband?
He's a cop.
I don't understand what you intend to do, Dr. Abrams.
Well, I know it's unorthodox, Mr. Vincent, but I think the problem is critical enough to warrant some unusual tactics. That's why I wanted you to meet Mr. O'Connor.
Just call me Pete, Mr. Vincent.
Pete is my nurse's husband. At the moment, he's on leave from the police force.
I've got a minor disability. A junkie stabbed me in the side last month. But don't worry, I can get around just fine.
Well, what do you intend to do? Arrest Joe Vincelli?
You're not too far wrong. What we need to do, Mr. Vincent, is find out exactly where your friend Joe Vincelli takes you when you have these spells of amnesia. Now, I could continue to probe your unconscious for that answer, and I will, but at the same time, I'd like to try a direct approach to the problem.
Yeah. I see that it does make sense. I've often thought I needed to be watched.
If we can catch you in the personality of Joe Vincelli, Mr. Vincent, maybe we can make Joe listen to reason and leave you alone.
But the least we can do is stop him from killing you.
Just wanted to say goodnight, Dr. Abrams.
Good night, Penny. See you tomorrow.
You know, if you wanted me to work on those files tonight, I could do that.
No, Penny. You run along home. The files can wait for another time.
Well, tonight isn't a bad time at all, since I won't have a husband to cook for.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot. Pete's starting this surveillance tonight.
He calls it a stakeout. I'll get that. Dr. Abrams' office.
Penny? It's Pete.
Hi. We were just talking about you.
Great. That's why my ears are burning. Say nothing to the rest of my face.
You sound funny. Is anything wrong?
Yeah, I'm wrong. This layoff of mine must have turned me stale.
Pete, what's happened?
I loused up the job.
Now what's the matter?
Doctor, I think you'd better talk to my husband.
Hello, Pete. What's the trouble?
He outfoxed me, Dr. Abrams. The first night, I let Vincent get away. He
took this razor and got away from me.
Razor? What are you talking about?
I spoke to his housekeeper, Mrs. McCleavy. She caught him packing up this straight razor and leaving the house. And if we find Vincent with his throat cut, it'll be my fault.
Well, the question is, who got away? Was it Joseph Vincent, the wealthy, cultured, retired stockbroker? Or was it tough Joe Vincelli, a man capable of violence, perhaps capable of murder? And would both personalities finally come into conflict and end both their lives? We'll learn a great deal more when I return shortly with Act Two.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
Thoughts from Helen Keller. I have four things to learn in life. To think clearly without hurry or confusion. To love everybody sincerely. To act in everything with the highest motives. To trust in God unhesitatingly. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks, as though they were great and noble. The world has moved along not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Sam Spud, private investigator. Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you called.
You sound rattled, Angel.
I'm frantic, Sam. I went to buy the carpet for the office, and I got so confused. There are too many kinds. I didn't know what to ask or what to buy.
I'll help you, young lady.
Mercy, who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, when you're choosing carpet, make sure you pick a long-wearing one that'll go with your walls, draperies, and upholstery. Beware of so-called fantastic bargains. And don't buy a carpet that isn't labeled as to fiber content.
Oh, Sam, now I know what to look for and ask before I buy a carpet.
You floor me, Angel.
Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Vincent has disappeared, and in the offices of Dr. William Abrams, a gloomy trio has gathered to determine their next step. None of them certain that Joseph Vincent hasn't already known the vengeance of his alter ego, Joe Vincelli.
I don't know how I could have been so stupid. The boys in the station house hear about this. They won't let me back.
Stop blaming yourself, Pete.
No, it's my fault, really. I should have warned you that something like this could happen. Yeah, but the very first night of my stakeout. Well, that's something I never figured.
It's something that Joseph Vincent's alter ego figured, however.
Pete, how did it happen exactly?
Well, I was sitting outside in my car, and I saw Mr. Vincent leaving his house. So I started the engine. Well, that's when he waved to me and came over.
Well, what did he say?
He just said he was walking around the corner to the newspaper store.
Did he look the same, sound the same?
Exactly. I couldn't see anything wrong with the guy at all. He fooled me, Penny. He wasn't Joseph Vincent at all. It was this other guy, Joe Vincelli.
Well, what did you do when he didn't return?
I went looking for him, of course, but he was nowhere in sight. So I figured he hopped a bus or a taxi.
His car was still out in front.
That's right. Well, anyway, that's when I decided to go into the house and talk to Mrs. McCleavy.
His housekeeper?
Right.
And she told you about the razor?
Yeah. She said she passed Vincent's bedroom and saw him putting the straight razor into a case and slipping it into his coat pocket.
But why?
I think I'd like to ask Mrs. McCleavy that myself.
I feel just terrible about this, Doctor. Just awful. I just don't understand it, Dr. Abrams. I've known the man for 20 years, and I've never seen him act so strange.
When was the first time you knew about Mr. Vincent's problem?
I never did know, the first couple of times. He didn't say a word.
But then he couldn't hide the truth anymore. Once he was gone for a whole week, just walked out of the house without a word and didn't come back for a week. His clothes were a terrible mess. They were in such bad shape, he told me to throw them away.
And did you?
Yes.
Did you notice anything unusual about the clothes? I mean, any strange markings, perhaps something in the pockets?
Well, there was one thing.
What was it?
Well, I'm a little bit ashamed to say.
No, please, Mrs. McGleavy, it might be important.
Well, it was a calendar. One of those.
Those?
Oh, you know, with one of those women on it, without a stitch.
Oh, yes, I see. Do you still have it?
No, I threw it away, along with his dirty clothes.
But do you have the clothes he wore the last time he disappeared?
Oh, yeah, I got them all ready for you. Just back from the dry cleaners.
The dry cleaners?
Of course. I sent them out just as soon as he came back.
Oh, Mrs. McLeavy, we wanted those clothes just the way they were.
Well, I can't imagine why you'd want dirty clothes, Doctor.
Well, never mind. I'll take them just the way they are.
I'll get them for you.
Oh, Mrs. McLeavy.
Yeah?
One more thing. Did Mr. Vincent always use a straight razor?
Why, no, he never did.
What?
He used an electric razor all the time.
Hey, Joe! For the love of Pete, if it ain't Joe Vincelli.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Where you been for the last couple of weeks? I give up on you already.
Well, I've been around.
Around, huh? Tell me the truth. You were hitting the bottle again, huh?
Oh, I don't know, Mike. Maybe a little.
You're sure a funny guy, Joe. Five times you come to work for me, and five times you walk out without a goodbye. If I didn't like you so much, I'd throw you out on your ear, eh? You're a good barber, Joe. You give people their money's worth.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
A man like you, a real artist with the shears and the razor. Joe, listen to me. Why don't you try and cut it out, huh? The vino, I mean.
Yeah, I guess I should, Mike.
That stuff don't do no good. You ought to be working steady, saving money. No, for your old age.
Sure, I know, Mike.
What's the matter, Joe? You don't look so good.
Oh, well, it's my head. My head hurts.
You see, that's what the vino gets you.
No, I haven't had a drink. It's just that my head hurts sometimes. Mike, you will take me back, won't you? Can I work for you again?
But for how long, Joe? 2 days, a week, with you, I'm never sure.
But I need the work, Mike. I don't know what I'd do with myself if I didn't work.
Okay, Joe, okay. I could never say no to a good barber. You got the job.
Thanks, Mike.
And listen, you bring your old razor, Joe, huh? Are you hock it, maybe?
No. No, I didn't hock it, Mike. I got it right here.
I wish you wouldn't look like that, Dr. Abrams.
I'm sorry, Penny. I can't help blaming myself for what's happened.
That's fine. I've got a husband who blames himself and a boss who blames himself.
Maybe it was wrong to handle it this way. Maybe we should call the police.
Pete is the police, and he really doesn't think you have grounds to involve them, Doctor.
That man is carrying a murderer around with him.
I suppose so. But I can't help wondering, well, it all seems pretty obvious to me about where Mr. Vincent goes when he has these blackouts.
All right, where?
You know the old expression, chercher la femme?
Yes, I know. Find the woman.
Don't you think that's the most likely explanation?
Because of that girly calendar Mrs. McLeavy found?
Well, it does seem to indicate an interest in the opposite sex. The poor man's been widowed for over a year. Would it be surprising if he went out hunting for feminine company? That must be Pete.
Let him in, Penny.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Okay, I guess. I'm afraid I don't have much to report. I got the laboratory report on Vincent's clothing.
The suit Mrs. McLeavy had dry cleaned.
Yeah, that made it kind of tough. But there was one substance the dry cleaners didn't get out.
What was that?
Well, near as they can tell, Doc, it was powder. Face powder.
Face powder?
Are you sure, Pete?
Well, not much doubt about it. It was a kind of cheap brand, but that's what it was.
Well, what do you know? I was right. Cherchez la femme.
Nobody gives a shave like you, Joe. You really got the touch.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
It's worth it to be having you work here. Just so you can give me a shave.
Hey, Joe, your silver gun, so you're back.
Oh, hi, Phil.
How are you, Joe? Where you been lately? I missed you, old buddy.
Oh, I've been away.
Last time I saw you, you were hitting that vino pretty hard, huh? Oh, you're a bad boy, Joe. You know that gin and vino don't mix.
That's right. Hey, we played gin rummy together, didn't we?
Hey, how you like that? Doesn't even remember. Took $50 off me and he can't remember a thing.
Hey, good for you, Joe. Teach these young punks a lesson.
Well, how about wearing your gray shades, Joe?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not working anymore today.
You mean you're quitting so soon?
Yeah, Joe has got the headache.
Oh, that's too bad, Joe. Hey, listen, if you feel like relaxing, how about coming over to my place? My girl Anita is there. She'll fix us a little pasta or something, and maybe we could play a friendly game of gin.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, Joe, no. Maybe you better go home and lie down for a while.
Home?
Well, yeah, you got some place to stay, don't you?
Hey, come on, Joe, give me a break. Let me try to win back some of that bread.
All right, Phil. I'll give you a chance. Just let me get my coat.
Hey, great. I'll wait for you outside.
Listen, Joe. You really think it's a good idea?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, you don't know that guy. What are you doing playing cards with a guy you don't even know?
I've got to do something, Mike. I can't just eat and sleep. A guy's got to do something.
I just hope you know what you're doing.
Go on, Joe. Help yourself.
Boy, these cards are really lousy.
They look better after a little more vino, Joe.
Looks to me like you boys need a fresh bottle.
Hmm? No more for me.
Don't you like the stuff, Joe?
Maybe I shouldn't drink it anymore. My head feels like a tom-tom.
Hey, maybe it's the red stuff. Hey, Anita, how about breaking out that Chablis? How's that sound, Joe?
Hmm? Yeah. Okay.
There you are. I'll give you the 8 of hearts.
Oh, that's nice of you, Joe. I'll take that little 8 of hearts and give you the 2 of diamonds.
Here you go, boys. Nice fresh
bottle.
Two
of diamonds. Diamonds don't do me no good.
Drink up, Joe.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot.
How about picking another card, Joe?
Oh, can I just pick one?
You're getting a little stupid now, Joe.
Hmm?
Drink your vino, Joe. That'll make everything look better.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Have a drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Very good, Phil. This is very nice.
Be careful!
Joe. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, he's out like a light. Dead to the world.
Hey, come on. Give me a hand with him.
What are you going to do, Phil?
You don't know what I'm going to do, baby. I'm going to make sure that Mr. Vincelli is really dead to the world.
It would appear that Mike the Barber gave good advice to his friend Joe Vincelli. Too much vino obviously doesn't do him any good. In fact, too much vino seems to be threatening his life at the moment. Obviously, more than one person seems to want Mr. Vincent dead. Or is Phil's intended victim Joe Vincelli? We'll find out when I return shortly with Act Three.
Inside you're free after all. Yeah, freedom spirit, like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free after all. Living free, living free.
The urge hits. You know you have to hit the road. So with Buick Skylark SR firmly in hand, you do just that. Quickly, confidently, you're on your way. Skylark SR's touring car cockpit. Its bold stance and spirited V6 engine make exhilarating excursions a daily occurrence. Find out at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
As an actor, I think Grandpa Walton is one of my all-time favorite roles because he's in a family situation, meeting the down-to-earth problems of life. Hello, I'm Will Gear, and I'd like to speak with you a moment about a down-to-earth problem that affects 6 million of our nation's children and adults and their families. It's mental retardation. We've all heard the words mental retardation, but what do they really mean? Well, technically, they simply mean that normal development fails to take place as an infant grows older. It can happen in any family, and because of any of a couple of hundred known reasons, and other reasons that aren't known. It's important to remember that every mentally retarded person can be helped to become a better functioning human being. With proper training and education, most retarded persons are capable of becoming productive and self-sufficient. Please give your help by supporting the work of your local association of the National Association for Retarded Citizens. Thank you.
Joseph Vincent has disappeared, and a man who used to call himself Joe Vincelli has taken over his body, returning to the trade he knew as a young man. But Joe Vincelli has encountered another young man who doesn't seem to like barbers and is about to do something about it. At the same time, in the office of a psychiatrist named Dr. Abrams, a worried trio ponders the problem.
I can tell you one thing. Vincent didn't take a taxi when he walked around that corner. I checked it out with the Hack Bureau. No cabbie in the vicinity picked up a guy that fits his description that night.
Therefore, he either walked to where he was going or he took a bus. Mm. Let's face it, we're at a dead end.
Don't use that word.
You really think the guy's a menace to his own life, Doctor?
Well, he hasn't been my patient long enough for me to answer that, but based on his past history, I'd say the chances are pretty good.
I'll get it. Dr. Abrams' office. Who? Yes, he's here. Pete, this call is for you.
Oh.
A man named Halsey.
Oh, yeah, Sam Halsey from the lab. Hello, Sam? Yeah. Uh-huh. How many did you say? Well, that's peculiar, huh? Yeah, sure. Well, thanks a lot, Sam. I really appreciate this. So long.
What was that all about?
Well, the laboratory isn't still working on those clothes of Vincent, are they?
No, not the suit that was dry clean, but I found another suit in Vincent's closet. I kind of, borrowed it to see if we would turn up the same kind of face powder.
Did you?
No. But Sam says they found something else. They found hairs on the suit. Small particles of hair.
Mm-hmm. Blonde or brunette?
Well, that's the crazy part. They found both. And some redhead, too.
Wow. Did you say he wasn't a Romeo?
Now, wait a minute. If they were small particles, Of course, I just remembered what Vincent told me about his early life in this country.
What did he say?
He had several jobs here before he got into the stock market, and one of them was barber.
Barber?
Hey, that would explain it all right. The small bits of hair.
And that calendar he brought home that time. Where's a better place to pick up a girly calendar than a barber shop?
And that face powder on his clothes.
Well, that's it. He goes to a barber shop.
I'd say he probably works there.
And that would explain why he packed that straight razor of his. It's probably the same razor he used when he started shaving guys in America.
But why in the world does he want to work in a barber shop? He's a rich man.
Ah, but he's not a rich man when Joe Vincelli takes over his body. He's the poor immigrant all over again doing the same work he did then.
So all we've got to do is find out which barbershop he works in.
He's sure to be working under his old name, Vincelli.
But there must be 1,000 barbershops in this city. We can't call all the barbers.
Well, if we're lucky, we won't have to call them all. We'll find the one where Mr. Vincelli is working.
Hey, come on, Joe. Ah, you can make it on, buddy. Just a few steps more.
Hey, what is this? You bringing that wino back here?
What's the matter? Don't this hotel want customers?
Not like that one.
He won't be in any trouble. He'll just sleep it off.
And we'll just make sure he's got enough money to pay the room rent.
You don't have to worry about my pal.
Yeah, maybe you better pay for it in advance.
Okay, sure, friend. Anything you say. As long as I can make sure my boy Joe is all right.
Hello? Apex Barbers?
Vincelli.
You have a barber
name. V-I-N-C-E-L-L-I.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Is this the Continental Barbershop?
Hello? Freddie's Barbershop?
You have a barber?
You got a barber named
Lincoln Barber.
Joe Vincelli working there?
Tell me if you have a barber named Joe Vincelli there.
What's that? Hey, Doc Penny. I got him.
Never mind.
Yeah, I understand. But can you tell me where he went?
Isn't he there?
No, he took off this afternoon with a friend.
Does he know where the friend lives?
He said he doesn't know. Hello? Listen, are you the owner? Yeah, it's very important that we find Mr. Vincelli. Well, but you must have some idea.
Pete, tell him we'll come down there and talk to him in person.
If Joe is in some kind of trouble...
No, it's not the kind of trouble you might think, Mr. D'Angelo.
You said you were a cop, right?
Yes, I'm a police officer, but this gentleman here is a doctor. Joe Vincent's doctor.
Who's Joe Vincent? The guy I know is named Vincelli.
Yeah, well, they're one and the same.
We think that your friend may be in danger, Mr. D'Angelo. He has definite suicidal tendencies.
Joe does?
That's right. And unless we can locate him, he may never work for you or anyone else again.
Well, like I told you, there's a fella comes in here. Joe played cards with him a couple of times. All I know is his first name, Phil.
Well, what does he do for a living?
I don't know. I think he's a bookie. I told Joe not to get mixed up with him.
And you don't know where he lives?
Oh, I don't know. Wait a minute.
Huh?
He has got a girlfriend in the neighborhood named Anita French. Maybe she can tell you where he is. That's it, Joe. That's all it's gonna take. Just turn on the heater and let some nice gas into the room. Sure, Joe. Hey, you just lie back and take it easy. Now, just one more thing. Gotta get the soap. Now, here it is. Ah, let's see. What do we want to write today, Joe? Hey, I know. Just one word today, Joe, okay? Just one word.
Yeah? What do you want?
Miss French?
That's right.
Police, Miss French.
Police? What did I do?
Oh, nothing, miss. We just want to ask you a few questions. Well, maybe we come in?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, looks like there's been a card game here, huh?
Is that why you're here, on a gambling bust? Well, forget it. It was just a friendly game.
No, that's not why we're here. We came to ask you about a friend of yours named Phil.
And his friend, Joseph. I mean, Joe Vincelli.
Was Mr. Vincelli here today, miss?
Yeah, he was. So what?
Where's Mr. Vincelli now?
How should I know? The game broke up and they left.
Miss French, this may be hard to explain, but this man you know as Joe Vincelli isn't Joe Vincelli.
He has another personality, another identity.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's not important that you understand. What is important is that Joe Mincelli is in danger of taking his own life.
What?
We've got to find this guy before he hurts himself. Now, can you understand that much?
Hey, Pete, wait a minute. Look at this.
Well, what is it, Doc?
A matchbook.
The Hotel Margolis. Hey, that's right across the street.
That's where Vincent went the last time. Maybe he's going back again.
Mr. Vincent! Joe! Are you in there?
He might be asleep. Or worse.
Come on, you. Open the door.
All right, already. All right.
Oh, oh good Lord, it's gas.
Turn that heater off.
The window open. Hey, Doc. Look at that mirror.
Yeah, he's written all over him with soap.
Hey, is he dead?
No, he's still alive.
All right, get him out in the hall, quick.
Give me a hand. Okay. Yeah, come on.
Are you sure he's breathing?
Yeah, he's all right.
Mr. Vincelli.
I'd sure like to know what's going on. Hey,
yeah. Shut up, come on.
Dr. Abrams, is that you?
Yeah, yes, it's Dr. Abrams.
Oh.
Do you know who you are?
Yes, I'm Joseph Vincent.
Wow. Oh. That's something, anyway.
Hey, Doc. Do you see what it says on the mirror?
Yes. Just one word. Death.
Yeah. And it's signed Joe Vincelli.
What? What happened? Did I do it again? Did I try to kill myself again?
It looks that way, Mr. Vincent.
Only this time you almost succeeded. Hey, wait a minute.
What is it, Pete?
Mr. Vincent, let me see your hands.
My hands?
Look at them. They're filthy.
Well, so what?
Well, it means he hasn't washed them.
No. I guess I didn't.
There's no soap smell on them either. Not a trace.
What are you getting at, Pete?
The note on the mirror was written with a cake of soap. But there's no trace of soap on Mr. Vincent's hands. He didn't write on that mirror, Doc. We were wrong about Joe Vincelli.
No, Pete. I'm sure there's a Vincelli personality.
But maybe Vincelli isn't a killer. Maybe the killer's got an identity all his own.
Mike.
Oh, hello, Pete.
Nita said you called something about my buddy Joe.
Yeah, that's right. I'm afraid Joe won't be around to shave you in the Hornfield.
No kidding. Disappeared again?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. But look, I don't want to lose a good customer. You sit down. I show you I can give you as good a shave.
Okay, Mike. I want to take a chance. Poor Joe. He really liked his vino too much.
Yeah, I'm afraid of so. Here, let me put this towel around you.
Hey, is he going to be okay? You know?
I'm afraid it's a kind of serious fear. Hey, this ladder is too hot for you?
No. It's fine. Well, go on, Mike. Tell me the worst.
I'll tell you the worst, Phil.
Hey, Joe. What are you doing here?
Hand me that razor, Mike. I'll take over.
Yeah. Sure, Joe. And I'll be in the back if you need me.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter, Phil?
Huh?
You always said I gave the best shave in town.
Listen, Joe, you maybe better not. A man in your condition...
Don't move. Razor is a very delicate instrument, you know that?
Joe, take it easy, huh?
One wrong move here, you could kill a man in 2 seconds.
Joe, I...
Feel how sharp that blade is against your throat. Oh, I keep my razor sharp, Phil.
Get that thing away from me!
I wouldn't move if I were you.
What is this?
You know what it is, Phil. I'm not Joe Vincelli anymore. I'm Joseph Vincent now. And Joseph Vincent doesn't remember how to handle a razor anymore.
Hey, you're crazy.
Not as crazy as you thought I was. I thought it was Joe Vincelli who wanted me dead. But it was you. You, Phil, all along. Why? What for?
I swear, I never meant to hurt you.
No, just to kill me. Hmm? Now, if you don't tell me why...
Hey, stop! Look, I'm bleeding!
Oh, Only a small cut, Phil. In another few seconds...
Somebody help me!
You can help yourself, Phil. Tell me who you are.
I'm Phil McLeavy.
McLeavy?
I'm your housekeeper's son.
Mrs. McLeavy's son? I don't believe you. She wouldn't do anything like this.
She doesn't know anything about it. It was all my idea.
What idea?
Stop it. Hey, stop it, will you? Look at the blood. I...
Talk or I'll kill you.
Okay. When she told me about those spells you had, I figured it out. She showed me a calendar you brought home once. It had the address of Mike's barbershop, so I came here.
Why did you follow me?
I thought if you're trying to kill yourself, nobody would ever think it was murder.
Why? What was in it for you?
Well, I knew you were going to leave my mother a lot of money. You didn't have anybody else. And when she got it, I'd get mine, too.
You would kill her next.
Oh, no, I swear it.
You know something, Phil? Some people should get their throats cut.
I know, don't,
Mr. Vincent. Hold it right there.
Help me. Help me. He just tried to kill me.
Stop blubbering, Cal. You're okay. You just had a very close shave.
They say that barbershop shaves are becoming a lost art. And if that's the kind of shave they're handing out these days, I can well understand. Of course, we hope the barbers in our audience aren't offended. Personally, we think there's only one thing more relaxing than an afternoon in a barber's chair. And that's the time spent listening to the Radio Mystery Theater. I'll be back shortly.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life and be free and see. Where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I've been in school, but what lies ahead? Don't want to get trapped, want to feel free instead.
About the new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Perhaps you'll remember the story about the man in the barbershop who was getting a fine straight razor shave while a very pretty blonde lady manicured his nails. He said to her, "You're the prettiest girl I've seen in years. How about a date tonight?" She replied, "Why don't you ask my husband? He's shaving you." What? No laugh? Well, that's not the purpose of the Radio Mystery Theater anyway. We're here to hand out chills and thrills. And we hope you'll be back for more. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Robert Dryden, Catherine Byers, Suzanne Grossman, Ian Martin, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I don't think my man has any connection with your Grim Reaper.
How do you know?
I don't know. It's instinct. I just think the man who called me was no run-of-the-mill psychotic. I've got the feeling that he was, or is, a man with a temporary aberration.
Hmm. Wasn't it about this time that he called you last night?
Yes.
Someone who knows your habits has some idea of your schedule. Midnight. Is that about when he started last night?
Yes, but it could be the hospital.
Now, wait, as long as we're there.
My service picks up after four rings.
You have an extension in the kitchen?
Yes.
Okay, pick up. I'll get on the extension.
Hello?
Hello, my lovely. This is your unseen admirer. Why did you have to spoil it?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Bright and beautiful music comes your way from midnight to 6. World and national news from CBS on the hour. George Good has local news. From KOIN in Portland, I'm Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. Cambodian insurgents have entered the city of Phnom Penh. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. For the first time since the offensive began, Khmer Rouge insurgents have advanced inside the capital. Mike Snitowski reports.
According to radio reports monitored directly from Army headquarters in Phnom Penh, the military situation is rapidly deteriorating. The Khmer Rouge have now moved into populated districts of the city and have captured the entire southern section, at one point less than 3 miles from the American embassy. The reports say that government soldiers are now manning the city's Saigon Bridge as the last line of defense on the capital's southern flank. In the northwest, insurgent forces reportedly are posing a direct threat to the northern suburb of Thuol Koc and are now within only a few hundred yards of the French embassy, where some 50 foreigners have taken refuge. Among them are several American newsmen. Mike Stetowski for CBS News, Bangkok.
The military situation in South Vietnam is worsening as well. Government soldiers reportedly have abandoned the port of Phan Rang after a communist tank and infantry attack. Communist gunners bombarded Ben Hoa Air Base near Saigon with artillery and rockets. There's no immediate report of any casualties there. The communists have also stepped up pressure on the provincial capital of Suan Loc, 40 miles east of Saigon. That city has been under siege for more than a week. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee is expected to give final approval today to President Ford's request for $200 million for evacuating Americans and South Vietnamese from Saigon. Other committees are still working on administration requests for nearly $1 billion in new military and humanitarian aid for South Vietnam. More news coming up.
CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb, heard regularly on First Line Report mornings over most of these stations, has been awarded a citation of excellence by the Overseas Press Club of America. Kalb received the citation for best radio interpretation of foreign affairs for his First Line reports from Geneva and the Middle East, covering Secretary Kissinger's diplomatic efforts there. We're pleased to note this recognition for correspondent Marvin Kalb's penetrating analysis on First Line Report over the CBS radio network.
I was really happy.
You were?
I was really happy when the new minimum wage...
You mean the $2.10 an hour minimum wage?
Yeah, the $2.10 an hour minimum wage started.
You were?
I was really happy because it affects most workers.
And in most occupations all over the country.
With a few exemptions and exceptions.
Really?
But for the most part, the new minimum wage
you
is...
You said $2.10 an hour.
The new federal minimum wage.
If you have any questions...
Check the U.S. Labor Department's wage and hour division in your area.
Wage and hour office in my area. They care.
About me?
They care about you.
The deadline for filing your income tax has now passed. For those of you who have not completed your forms yet, the Internal Revenue Service has some advice, as Mitchell Krause reports.
If you have a refund coming, don't worry. You can file for it any time within the next 3 years and still get it with no penalty, except the inability to use your own money on which the government pays you no interest. If you're one of the 20% of taxpayers who owes something, a few days of delay are usually ignored by the IRS. A longer time invites a penalty and interest charges, and failure to file altogether could result in criminal charges. As for the last-minute rush, IRS officials say there was less of it this year than usual. The explanation appears to be the recession. Most taxpayers get refunds. The average last year was $237, and most taxpayers wanted the money sooner rather than later, and therefore filed early. A move that should also get them their 1974 tax rebate check sooner, too. The first rebate's due to be mailed out on May 9th. Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
Now this message.
blind and a teacher? Well, we're here to tell you. There are lots of us all over the country, and we're doing other things, too. We're blind, but we're just like you.
I teach visually impaired and blind in the public schools of Dade County, and I teach in the adult vocational program Braille in the evening. My certification is in visual disabilities K-12. In other words, I can teach virtually on any level through high school. I've been in the National Federation of the Blind for not as many years as I wish I had. There are problems that need to be corrected, and there are people that are interested in correcting them, which makes you feel pretty good. Gets pretty lonely out there.
For further information, get in touch with your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind, or contact me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309. This message presented as a public service by this station and the members of the National Federation of the Blind.
Talks for a world energy conference this summer broke down early today in Paris, where oil-producing and oil-consuming nations finally admitted they could not agree on an agenda. They did say that contacts would be maintained through diplomatic channels. The representatives had been meeting for 10 days. Algeria had been holding out for all raw materials, including oil, to be discussed at the conference. The U.S. was insisting that oil only be discussed. Lebanon's premier is expected to meet today with Palestinian guerrillas and members of the right-wing Falangist Party to try to arrange a ceasefire. The two factions have been battling in and around Beirut for 3 days. About 100 people have been killed, many more wounded. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A delegation of Clatsop County officials met with Governor Bob Straub in an unsuccessful effort to have him withhold his support for construction of the Alumax plant in Umatilla County. Attorneys for the group said legal action would soon be filed to prevent Alumax and the Bonneville Power Administration from signing a new contract for electrical power at the plant site near Hermiston. The company had originally planned to build the plant at Warrenton in Clatsop County, but difficulties in meeting proposed environmental standards forced the firm to look elsewhere for a plant site. The Clatsop delegation says the various local government agencies had spent $1.3 million in preparing for the Alumax plant, but that would be lost if the plant is not built at Warrenton. The Oregon House Revenue Committee has voted to expand the state's homeowner and renter property tax relief program. Major provisions of the bill sent to the House floor include a $5,000 homestead exemption for all single-family houses in Oregon, an increase of 22% in rent refunds, and a rent supplement program for low-income senior citizens. Well, as expected, the Multnomah County Commission has approved a plan to keep Edgefield Manor open, under county control, for at least one more year. The board listened to a parade of witnesses Tuesday morning who expressed thanks that the nursing home will keep running and fears it might close at the end of next budget year. Commissioner Mel Gordon, while supporting the move, said it's only part of the program.
I am very concerned about all the thousands of other senior citizens in inadequate nursing homes throughout the community. Everybody seems to zero in on who's at Edgefield, but I'm concerned about those people who are in other nursing homes that are absolutely a national disgrace. And I think that's what we should be concerned about. How are we going to deal with all the people in the whole metropolitan area, not just those few people in Edgefield Lodge? There has to be some way that we upgrade and dignify the senior citizens in their twilight years so at least they enjoy themselves.
That idea is also in the mind of Commissioner Dennis Buchanan, who said that the committee he chairs will seek a resolution to providing better care for more people. Those who want Edgefield kept open will get a seat on that committee, and Buchanan pledged there would be no secretive moves to close the facility, and the committee deliberations would be in the open. Portland Mayor Neil Goldschmidt has recommended increased parking meter and business license fees to balance the city budget. Facing a $6,300,000 deficit, he asked City Council to lop off 82 city jobs and dip $2,380,000 into banked federal revenue sharing money to balance the books. Several rows of bleachers in a gymnasium collapsed just before a public school board meeting in Redmond, Washington. At least 5 persons were sent to a Kirkland hospital for treatment of apparently minor injuries. An estimated 800 persons had filled the bleachers at Rose Hill Junior High School for the meeting when about 7 rows in the center seating section gave way, dumping boards and tumbling bodies onto the floor. The Portland-Vancouver weather forecast, cloudy with a chance of showers today, Wednesday, partial clearing tonight, partly sunny on Thursday. Highs 55 to 60 degrees, lows tonight near 40. Chance of measurable rainfall, 20% today and 10% tonight. With rain right now in downtown Portland, the temperature is reading 44 degrees. And that's KOIN-FM and KOIN-AM News to 12:09 a.m. I'm George Good.